And they made a film about it as well. Any idea what that was called? No, it had a different title, Jean. It was called Christmas with the Cranks. Christmas with the Cranks is based on the book Skipping Christmas. And it was about a family, Luther, Nora, Crank. They had two children. And one year, they decided that they were just going to not bother with Christmas at all. They were going to totally ignore it. And they were really unpopular for this because they decided that they'd go on a 10-day cruise on a ship that didn't celebrate Christmas either. So they were just going to escape Christmas completely. The neighbours were completely livid with them because they lived on this road where everybody put lights up and they matched each other. And in the end, I can picture it in the film, they'd got all these houses that were beautifully lit with all sorts of things going on. And then the Crank's house in the middle, nothing. And every year they won the prize for the best road, the best decorated. And this year, nothing. They won absolutely nothing. In a way, Christmas with the Cranks, or Skipping Christmas, reminds me a little bit of the gospel stories. I want you to imagine that there's a road in Alexandria. Anyone been to Alexandria? I bet Jean has. Yeah. And this road is called Gospel Road. You have to stretch your mind a bit for this. It's called Gospel Road. And the people that live there are, have a guess. They are Christians, but there's four of them, there's four families. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Yeah, four houses. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And what would you see on Matthew's lawn? You'd see beautiful characters. You'd see Mary and Joseph. You'd see the wise men. You'd see a star on the front of the house. You'd see everything that reminds you of Christmas. And across the road, you'd have Luke, and you'd see John the Baptist and his parents, and Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph travelling to Bethlehem, angels in the sky, shepherds would be dotted on the grass at the front. It would look beautiful, this panorama. And then you'd think about John, and you'd look at John's house, and you'd look at John's house, and it would have almost creation in front of it. It would be showing that God had made everything, and where Jesus had come into that wonderful story, and it had all been lit up with the lights of creation there. And then across the road, you'd get to Mark's house, and you'd see nothing. Absolutely nothing. You'd see a bare lawn and no lights and no stories being told. Just blank. For Mark, that's the Christmas story. Jesus makes his first appearance in verse 9 and he's already a fully grown adult. For Mark, Christmas, the Christmas story isn't really part of his gospel. But there's something else going on with Mark. Don't put him to one side and say it's not relevant. It is. Because if you go inside Mark's house and you go past all the outside, the facade of it all, what do you actually find? Well, if you look in Mark 1, you find pictures of John baptizing Jesus in the Jordan River. Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And if you were to go into his house, you would see, can you imagine all these? It's pictures on the wall as you go down towards the living room. They're all there, like pictures of a family, somebody that you're very proud of. He'd have all these pictures up in the hallway. He'd have a picture of Jesus preaching his first sermon, Jesus calling his first disciples, then Jesus moving on to heal a man with an unclean spirit, healing Peter's mother-in-law, healing the sick and casting out demons from people that showed up at Peter's house, preaching in Galilee, healing a leper. It's everywhere in chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1 is everything that Jesus meant and everything that Jesus was. The people wanted this mighty ruler to defeat the Romans and the persecution they were under. They looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. A mighty Messiah sounded great. They didn't realize that the Messiah was coming to them first as a prophet and a priest before returning as a conquering king. Jesus wasn't the kind of Messiah most of them expected. Is Jesus the kind of Messiah that you expect today? Is Jesus as relevant in your life as he was in the lives of the people in the Gospel of Mark? In Mark's story, Jesus is mysterious but not unknowable. The heavens opened when he was baptized and the Spirit descended and God's voice was heard. Jesus entered the wilderness and was tempted by the demons, and after that he'd regularly take himself away to be with God. How often do we regularly take ourselves away and take some time to be with God? And there was power exuding from Jesus. All the way through Mark, you see it, people coming out to see him, wanting to meet him, wanting to touch the hem of his garment because they knew the power that he'd got. He exuded compassion. The crowds marveled at his authority. Demons fled. Diseases disappeared. People followed. He touched the untouchable. People that were spurned by society, Jesus welcomed. There's so many lessons in Mark for Christmas. As we study the pictures on Mark's living room walls, it's obvious he was far more concerned with why Jesus came than how Jesus came. Far more important is, from today onwards, why Jesus came, the difference he needs to make. Aisha at the service last night said something that sort of stuck with me. She said that Christmas is not just a day, it's an experience. It's something that you should take with you for the rest of the year. Christmas is an attitude rather than a day. There's a picture on the wall which shows Jesus talking to his disciples on his way to Jerusalem, where he'll soon be arrested and beaten and crucified. There's a caption on Mark's wall that says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The only way Jesus could suffer was to become one of us. And that's the important bit about Christmas. Jesus had to be born as a baby. He had to be human, partly human, to be one of us. If that never happened, then this story, this wonderful story on Christmas morning, would mean nothing. And that's the importance of Christmas, that Jesus was born to be like us, to have the same temptations that we've got, to go through the same things that we did, so that God could understand and so that God could touch us. So if you want to, you can skip Elizabeth and Zechariah. You can even skip the baby John. You can skip Mary and Joseph, and you can forget the innkeeper. You can ignore the shepherds, blot out the angels, get rid of the manger. You can skip the star and the wise men. You can ignore the fact that there was gold and frankincense and myrrh. You can skip it all. If you want to, you can skip Santa and Rudolph and Frosty the Snowman. Sometimes we do focus on all the external things surrounding Christmas, and we lose sight of the why. And if you must, you can skip the how, but don't skip the why. Don't skip the why Jesus came. Don't skip Jesus the person this Christmas, and take Jesus into the rest of the year with you.